Chapter 4, Dr. Seward's Diary, The Death of Lucy. 18 September. We forced our way into the house and found four servants unconscious in the kitchen. When we came to Lucy's room, we opened the door, hands trembling. How can I begin to describe what we saw? On the bed lay two women, Lucy and her mother. Her mother had a look of terror on her face, and she wore Lucy's flowers around her neck. Lucy's bare neck showed two little wounds. The professor hurried over to them. Mrs. Wessendre was dead. Then he listened to Lucy's heart. "She's just breathing," he shouted, "but she will die within the hour without blood." Lucy remained unconscious as we battled to save her life. When the transfusion of blood was over, the professor handed me a sheet of paper that had fallen from Lucy's nightdress. I read it in growing horror. 17 September, night. This is an exact record of what happened tonight. I feel as if I am dying. I went to sleep quickly and was woken up by a flapping sound at the window. This has often happened since I walked on the cliffs at Whitby. Why isn't Dr. Seward here? I heard a dog howling in the garden. I went to the window and caught sight of a huge bat. My mother, hearing my footsteps, came in to see me. Suddenly, there was a loud crash at the window. Broken glass flew everywhere. I looked at the hole in the window. There was the head of a gray wolf. My mother screamed and tore at the flowers around my neck. Then she fell over. I kept my eyes fixed on the window. The maids, hearing the noise, came in and laid my poor mother on the bed. I told them to have a drink of brandy. They went and never came back. I found them all drugged. I am alone now, alone with the dead. I can hear the wolf howling through the broken window. What will happen to me? Goodbye, dear Arthur. I shall die tonight. What does it all mean? I asked. Was she mad? Forget it for the moment, the professor replied. I will tell you later. When Lucy woke up late in the afternoon, she looked around the room, shuddered, and gave a loud cry. She wept weakly and silently for a long time. 19 September. We watched Lucy all night, but she was too afraid to sleep. She was very weak in the morning. When she fell asleep at daylight, her open mouth showed pale gums drawn back from her teeth. Her teeth looked longer and sharper than usual. Later, she asked to see Arthur. He arrived at 6 o'clock, just as the sun was setting. 20 September. Lucy was worse during the night, and her teeth are even sharper and longer, especially the ones at the side, in her top gum. There was a full moonlight, and I saw a bat flapping at the window pane. Lucy moved in her sleep and tore the garlic flowers from her throat. I replaced them. Whenever she awoke, she pressed the flowers to her face. When the professor came into the room at dawn and saw Lucy's face, he drew in his breath sharply. He leaned over and looked at her neck. "The wounds on her throat have disappeared," he whispered. "She is dying. It will not be long. Bring Arthur to see her." When Arthur came into the room, Lucy opened her eyes and smiled lovingly at him. Suddenly, I heard her breathing become louder. Her mouth opened, and her pale gums drew back. Her teeth seemed to lengthen and sharpen. She spoke in a voice I had never heard before.
"Arthur, kiss me," she murmured.
Arthur leaned over her, but Van Helsing, startled by Lucy's voice, pulled him back with both hands. "No!" the professor shouted.
No!
A look of rage flickered across Lucy's face, and her sharp teeth clamped together. Then she closed her eyes. Shortly afterwards, she opened them again and took hold of Van Helsing's hand. My true friend, she whispered, look after Arthur and give him peace.
I promise,
the professor whispered. He turned to Arthur. Hold her hand, he said. Now kiss her on the forehead, and only once. Their eyes met instead of their lips. Then Lucy's eyes closed. Van Helsing took Arthur's arm and pulled him away.
It's all over, he said. She is dead.
So now I can finish this sad diary. I shall never begin another.